Credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Who looked worse last night, Iowa or Iowa State? You can plead the fifth if you want to. 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Ball pulled free. Kicked by Bullock ahead to Baker. Stumbling Baker to the rim for the two-handed stop.
I think what you saw is the Iowa players gave up.
Well, they gave up a lot of points. You can say that about the Hawkeyes last night at the Rack in Piscataway. 406, welcome in. It is another edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann. January 18th, 2018. Welcome aboard, 1600 AM listeners all across eastern Iowa, our historic main gym frequency. We've also got 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. That question we posed at the beginning of the show, the pre-intro, I don't know if there's a term for that. I know there's a term for what happened at the end of the gym class. I think they call that arson. But who looked worse last night? That's our poll question, kgymradio.com. Seriously, that was a verbal Molotov cocktail, the final couple minutes of the gym class. Emil's Hideaway is the sponsor for the poll question. Find him on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. We've got a great show for you today. We also have an open door policy here in the studio. Anybody who can come in that wants to say anything on the air certainly can. Jeremiah Davis, this is going to be a historic day. You're not going to want to miss any of the 3 hours today. Not only will we finally have the intro for Jeremiah Davis's 90 seconds of NASCAR, but I am going to rip the, try to figure out the, I'm going to blow people's minds today, because there's something, there's been a long-held opinion, a long-held belief about a United States institution, and we've had it all wrong. And I'm going to blow people's minds today. Find out that they have known something about an institution in America. They've believed it for many, many years. And I'm just going to tell you that it's false. I don't want to say anything more than that.
It has to do with 90 seconds of NASCAR?
No. I'm saying separate entities.
Okay.
Addition to what those guys, I paid him $20 to say that at the end of their show and not the beginning of ours. I just want you to know that. Travis Hines going to join us to talk Iowa State at 5:30. Woodja is on the way at 6 o'clock as well, and then we'll hear from Fran McCaffrey what he had to say after another uninspiring. I'm running out of things to say about this team at this point. And, they win a game last week, the Hawkeyes do, at Illinois, against a terrible Illinois team that hadn't won a Big Ten game yet, but they put up 104 points, and everybody is going gaga. And where are you today? Everybody that criticized me for being critical of the team in a win, where are you today? I watched that game last night because I was stuck at home. That. And by the way, it sounds like the Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet was fantastic last night. I'm sorry that I missed it, but rave reviews. Sounds like Chris Atterbury, the Minnesota Twins radio broadcaster, certainly had a good time. Hopefully he tipped the bartenders well. I'm stuck at home. I'm watching the game on TV. Iowa State went back-to-back. And I'm going to readily admit this. I turned the Iowa State game off after about 15 minutes. I said, I cannot take any more bad basketball tonight. So of Iowa State's loss to TCU, I only know of what I read afterwards and what I saw at the very beginning. But it wasn't any better than Iowa and Rutgers. But before I flipped over to the Iowa State game, the Big Ten Network went to the post-game show, the wrap-up highlight show, whatever the heck they call it. and they're giving the Iowa-Rutgers highlights, and I can't remember which studio analyst said it.
I think it was John. I know what you're talking about. John Crispin,
the former Penn State guard, said that it looked like Rutgers was playing at a different speed than Iowa. That's not Michigan State. That's not Purdue, which is coming to Carver-Hawkeye Arena Saturday morning. You're talking about Rutgers playing at a different speed than Iowa. That is a phrase that should not be uttered. And I know this sounds elitist, and I am an elitist. I was referred to as an elitist earlier this week.
Did you get your card yet?
I'm embracing it. But that's something that should not be said, okay? That Rutgers is playing Big Ten basketball at a different speed than Iowa. That's all you needed to know. If you didn't watch the game and you just heard that, you'd know that they lost. And not only that, I mean, Hawkeye fans, I feel for you. I really do. Because it just seems like, I mean, it's easy to look at this and make an excuse if you want to and just go, well, they shot the lights out. Well, they shot the lights out.
We were talking about that yesterday.
With Morgan Freeman?
No, not with Morgan Freeman. That's not a coincidence. People say that all the time. People say that about Penn State when they come in and shoot or make 10 threes in Illinois.
Here's the deal.
That is not a coincidence.
And I think this was ESPN Stats and Info. I can't remember who had this last night. But Rutgers has been in the Big Ten for 3 years. They've never shot above 50% from the floor in a Big Ten game, ever. They did it last night against Iowa. They're coming off their lowest, was it their lowest scoring output of the season?
The previous game against Indiana.
They put up 90 on Iowa last.
The other thing that John Crispin said that kind of hit home, and I think a lot of fans will question effort and question toughness.
80.
And it doesn't necessarily ring true until analysts who played the game and who watched. And
it felt like 90.
And who can sense these things a little bit better than we can.
It's a dry heat.
When John Crispin and Sean Morris, who did the color commentary, say that Iowa looked like they lacked any type of fire or energy for 30 to 35 minutes of the game, that basically sums up what we saw last night.
And you turn around and you got Purdue coming to Carver-Hawkeye Arena. It's an 11 a.m. tip-off Saturday. It's going to be an extremely emotional day at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. The 25th anniversary of Chris Street's pit, which, by the way, is... I mean, we're living it. We're right in the middle of it. As a really good Purdue basketball team. And I don't know. I saw somebody last night, the eternal glasses half full crowd looks and says, well, you can't explain this season. They lose on the road to Rutgers, and maybe they win by 20 against Purdue on Saturday morning. Okay, I guess you could say stranger things have happened. But you look back on the Iowa turn the corner against Illinois crowd last week, and boy, we're going to talk about freezing cold takes. And I don't want to leave Iowa State out of this either because, as I said, Iowa State kind of played like Iowa last night, leaving guys wide open. TCU was just draining shots at will. And that's we saw them at Carver-Hawkeye Arena last year, a relatively similar team that Jamie Dixon had. You can't do that against them. And then to add insult to injury, Baylor completely embarrassed the Iowa State women last night. 2 points in the first quarter of that game. Ugh. It's a rough night all around. So poll question today, KGYMRadio.com. Who looked worse last night, the Iowa State men or the Iowa men? Plenty more to get to on the program today. Sounds like some news from Major League Baseball about a pitch clock coming in 2018 despite objections from the Players Association. Players don't want it. Commissioner does. What the commissioner wants, commissioner is going to get. Football, Tom Brady, there's mystery surrounding whether or not Tom Brady is going to be able to play this week. He's going to play.
There's no mystery behind this.
I'm trying to make this interesting.
Oh, I know. The one thing that we talked about yesterday, and I'm kind of drawing back to the basketball angle, and what we're going to get to this winter. And I brought you and I into this discussion as well, but we're looking at an Iowa State team that probably is the most talented team in the state, but you don't know where the wins are going to come from in the Big Ten. You're looking at an Iowa team that's giving up 90 points a game, and a UNI team whose leading scorer was benched. So that's what we're dealing with this winter, and if we have to act like maybe Tom Brady won't play this Sunday, I guess that's what we have to do.
Mike,
he's going to play.
Mike from Marengo on the Hurtin and Stocker text line, watching Iowa basketball is like watching the Iowa-Stanford Rose Bowl game over and over and over and over. It just hurts.
I wondered after that Illinois win because I think that a lot of fans were still not necessarily holding out hope, but the reality of how bad this season could get hadn't set in yet. And I thought to myself, what better way for it to set in, or what worse way, depending on how you're looking at it, to set in would it be than going on the road and not being competitive against Rutgers? And that's exactly what happened last night. And I think that this certainly might be when it sets in just how far south this season could go.
Now, again, for the eternal glass half full crowd, something else that came my way last night as I was watching and wading through all of the post-mortem. Matt Painter had a losing season in his eighth year at Purdue. Eighth and ninth, I believe, if I double check. I know about the eighth. I'd have to double check on the ninth. So you got people out there that are saying, hey, this happens. You go ups and downs, and that certainly is the case. But they shouldn't look the way that they looked on the road. Rutgers had never beaten Iowa. Rutgers' first ever win over Iowa in the Big Ten, and I know they've only been in the league for 3 years, but Rutgers is sort of the new Northwestern. Like, Orange is the new black, Rutgers is the new Northwestern, because Northwestern is respectable in football, and they made the tournament in basketball last year. I know that they are as big of a disappointment in basketball this year as Iowa is, probably even bigger, because I know there were high hopes for Chris Collins's crew. But Rutgers has assumed that mantle now of the one team in the Big Ten that you don't want to lose to in football or basketball, men's basketball. And not only that, the game wasn't really that close. And Iowa had, what, the 9-point run? And then they turn around and Rutgers has a 12-point run. But I will say this, Steve Peichel, and they talked about it on the post game. We talked about it earlier this week. Steve Peichel is building a culture at Rutgers, trying to build a winning culture. And I think he's got the program on the right track, and it still doesn't excuse giving up 80 points to Rutgers coming off their lowest scoring output against Indiana. And they turn around and they shoot the lights out. I don't have an answer for it. And clearly Iowa doesn't, because, I mean, we've talked to it. It's getting to the point now. And how do you do this? And maybe you're sitting there and you're wondering or asking the same thing of me. How do you do this for the next 5-6 weeks? We still have half of the month of January and February to go with this team. And no improvement in sight. None.
Well, I think that's another thing that a lot of people noticed last night, and you bring up Steve Peichel. They're playing defense. They look, as Andy Katz, the other studio host for the Big Ten Network, said, they look like they have a purpose. They look like a program right now. And if I think a lot of Iowa fans who have been waiting for this defense to improve, despite the fact that, yes, we know Fran McCaffrey is an offensive-minded basketball coach. But Steve Peichel has come into that situation with that talent. Granted, they're not scoring points, a lot of points, but they did last night. They're playing good defense. He got those guys to buy in and at least look like a respectable Big Ten team and be competitive in the Big Ten defensively in just over a year and a half. And that's where I think Iowa fans are looking at this team. Yes, they're young, but this was a group that had so much promise because of the way they looked last year, and they still can't stop anybody.
We'll talk a little bit more about it with Jeremiah Davis coming up at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll give way to the debut of the greatest segment involving Jeremiah Davis on this show in its history, 90 seconds of NASCAR. And I hope he comes loaded for bear. I think he, and not Nicholas, I think he has put a lot of work into this one. At least that's my assumption. But I promised him that it was going to get an intro. It's going to be a segment within a segment. We've gone full inception here, and you'll hear it coming up in just a few minutes. I neglected to mention this, and this is what happens when you take one day off. You come in and you have no idea how to do your job correctly. We have four tickets to World Championship Ice Racing at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. That is coming up on the 27th. So not this Saturday, but next Saturday at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Four tickets to it. It should be a good time. I actually saw a picture online last night of one of the bikes with the spikes on the tires, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds on a sheet of ice. And if you're not intrigued by that, I can't really help you. We'll have four tickets to give away before 7 o'clock tonight. Would ya on the way as well? We'll hear what Fran McCaffrey had to say after that loss to Rutgers, and it doesn't get any easier for the Hawkeyes. They've got Purdue, which, yeah, you can make an argument right now. Some people will that Purdue is the number one team in the country. They are in the discussion.
Vegas has them as the favorites to win the national championship as of Monday.
I'm making a note of that just in case they legalize gambling between now and the national. Where are we on that? I haven't seen any updates.
It seemed like check in with our friend Lee Sterling.
Seemed like we were really making progress on that, and then that story just disappeared because Mama June has a new boyfriend.
I think the courts are still
what?
Deciding.
Over here, look over here. I'm just blown away by where we're at in 2018. I know that I say that all the time. We've got huge stories. And then 48 hours later, we've forgotten about them and we move on. And just look, shiny object over here. And the trial of Larry Nassar continued. The sentencing continues.
Absolutely disgusting.
The former trainer for the U.S. women's gymnastics team. And Michigan State is starting to take a lot of flack on this.
And as well they should.
Absolutely, because it was a culture of looking the other way. A lot of people enabled him. But if you're not keeping up on that, the poor guy says he's having a really hard time sitting there listening to all the victims read their victim statements. And you know what the judge? It's 2018. The judge is... It's 2018, you have the license to troll. No matter what you do for a living, the judge is trolling him at this point. And it's fantastic to see. The judge is basically, oh, you poor guy. You have to sit here and listen to hours and hours of victim statements when they've had years and years of reliving the horror that you inflicted upon. Oh, you poor guy. How are you going to get through this? Kudos to her. And by the way, this is part of his plea deal. So I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, this is going to get thrown out because it's going to be grounds for appeal. And no, the guy pleaded guilty. And part of the agreement was you're going to have to hear the victim impact statements.
And there's over 100 that have filed lawsuits against him, and I don't know how many are speaking, but they seems like every day he has to hear another one, which
is not a good look for Michigan State. And you look over the last, I mean, if you want to go back all the way to the Pierre Pierce days, you got, you know, Iowa has had a bad scandal, Penn State had the worst of the worst of the worst. Minnesota looks terrible, right? They got football and basketball up there, and now Michigan State is coming into light as a program that prioritized a lot of things over looking out for these student-athletes. It really is amazing. And most people are like, oh, shiny object, looked over here.
Yeah, the
don't want to hear it, because it makes people feel uncomfortable.
That's true.
Well, there are things... There are uncomfortable things afoot in this world, and one of them is the fact that you've long believed that a U.S. institution has your back, that come rain or shine, they are going to be there for you. And I am here to tell you that that is a myth. We'll get to that before 7 o'clock tonight. 4:26, step aside, take a quick timeout. Kyle's going to have a Midwest One Bank big board update for you. Jeremiah Davis coming up in just a few minutes from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Travis Hines in hour number 2. Woodja in hour number 3. Stick with us till 7 o'clock. We'll make it worth your while. Back after this.
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book's goal this week is to make your shopping easy. Iowa Book has added extra staff, extra cash registers, and is open extra hours. Save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies and Hawkeye gear. Iowa Book is open this Thursday and Friday, 9 to 8. Iowa Book, downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book! One-of-a-kind bookstore.
At TCB Pool Hall in Iowa City, there won't be any jerks hanging over your shoulder screwing up your shot because they rent their full-size, emphasize full-size pool tables by the hour. And they got 10 of them, so that table's yours. Sunday and Mondays, come in and play free. Yes, I said free. General jocularity prevails. There's always interesting drinks, specials, darts, video games, and a full-size shuffleboard table, which, as we know, is the world's best drinking game. Play pool, drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall on the Ped Mall next to Mondo's Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe great performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why there's Valvoline Max Life. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline Max Life to treat the hidden signs of aging and help extend the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life and a filter for $24.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Sorry, you caught me mid-Tide Pod there. Welcome back in the Todd Brawlkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn.
2018.
People eating Tide Pods. You know, then there people are trying to stop this. And my generation, and I'm not that old, I'm 37, but my generation had a phrase for this. It's called natural selection.
Mm-hmm.
If kids want to eat Tide
Pods. The Darwin
Pods,
Awards or whatever.
Yeah, if kids want to eat Tide Pods, it's called natural selection. 319-366-1600. I don't know who comes up with this stuff anymore, but Tide has partnered with, of all people, Rob Gronkowski. And if Rob Gronkowski tells you something is a bad idea, it tells you all you need to know. I think it would be a great idea to send things over to Kyle. He's had a very busy day on the phones after the gym class. For a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa men lost to Rutgers for the first time since the Scarlet Knights joined the Big Ten last night, 80-64 in Piscataway. Rutgers entered the game as one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country at less than 30% as a team and making less than 5 per game, but last night made 7 of 16 as they scored 11 points more than their season average and the most of their Big Ten schedule. They were also the worst overall shooting team in the league at 40% from the floor, but shot 53% against the Hawkeyes. Things weren't great for Iowa State either as they lost on the road to number 24 TCU, 96-73. TCU shot a sky-high 60% from the floor, including 12 of 25 from distance, while racking up 29 assists to only 4 turnovers. The Cyclones didn't have bad shooting numbers, and in fact were 50% from the floor and beyond the arc, but gave up 47 and 49-point halves. Interesting note, former Cyclone point guard Monte Morris has been added to the Denver Nuggets active roster. They host Phoenix tomorrow. The Iowa State women also took one on the chin from fourth-ranked Baylor for a second time this season, falling 79-50 at home. Bridget Carlton scored nearly half the Cyclones' points with 24 along with 8 rebounds and 4 steals. Tonight after the show, we'll have St. Mary's traveling to number 13 Gonzaga. We'll pick up coverage at 7:45 on 106.3 FM the South Gym and 107.5 FM the North Gym.
Who looked worse? The Iowa State fans, by the way, are disappointed in the text line that we're lumping the Cyclones in with the Hawkeyes because TCU is ranked. Who cares? If you look like crap, you look like crap, and they didn't look very good last night. So that's the poll question today.
As Steve Prohm said, that was bad, man.
That was it. Yeah, I love Steve Prohm. I literally, that guy is awesome. He tells it like it is.
So does Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He's going to join us next.
We're going to get you to a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. For the second straight day, a scheduled Tom Brady news conference was postponed in Foxborough. The Patriots quarterback is now scheduled to appear tomorrow. Brady took the field for warm-ups today wearing gloves on both hands but did not officially participate in practice. He was limited yesterday after reportedly jamming his right hand when he accidentally collided with a teammate. The Pro Football Writers Association named Sean McVay of the Rams as the NFL Coach of the Year and Howie Roseman of the Eagles as the Executive of the Year. From the NBA, Magic guard Aaron Aflalo gets a 2-game suspension for fighting against the Timberwolves on Tuesday night. ESPN's Jerry Krasnick reports the pace of game talks between MLB and the players have stalled. That means it's likely that baseball will implement new rules without the players' approval. That could mean a 20-second pitch clock and a limit on mound visits for catchers. The Mets signed veteran first baseman Adrian Gonzalez. It's a 1-year deal. Gonzalez played the last 6 seasons with the Dodgers.
Brought to you by Pizza Hut. Get 2 medium 2-topping pizzas for just $5.99 each. It's the deal you want on the pizza you crave. $5.99 medium pizzas, because no one out-pizzas the Hut.
It's award season, specifically John R. Wooden Award season. And Windy celebrates the fresh crop of finalists for this year's trophy. But who will win the award? Will it be Michigan State's Miles Bridges? Sophomore swingman has his sights set on a national title. Will it be Duke forward Marvin Bagley III, who leads his team in points and boards? What about Trae Young? Has anyone been as dominant as Oklahoma's freshman guard? This should be a fun race to watch. The John R. Wooden Award is presented by Wendy's.
The 4 for 4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for 4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm Junior Bacon Cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8, the Wendy's 4 for 4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at just $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Oh, boys and girls, if you're just joining us, we've got a good one for you today. You missed the first 25, 30 minutes. Podcast will be available at KGYMradio.com shortly. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Got Alex Kuhn and Kyle along with me, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Answer that poll question at KGYMradio.com. Who looked worse last night, Iowa or Iowa State? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Cedar Rapids Rough Riders, home all weekend, Friday and Saturday. Take it on Team USA at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. If you'd like to go to Friday's game, that's right. Last minute chance to win tickets tomorrow on the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. You can listen between 3 and 4 and then pick those tickets up at will call. Or you could just go to their website, RidertownUSA.com, and buy them now. I don't know whether our next guest is much of a hockey aficionado, but I do know that he likes his NASCAR, and this is a historic day on the program. Write it down, January 18th. He was promised that he would have an intro for 90 seconds of NASCAR, and he will get it. But first, he's got to sing for his supper and talk Iowa basketball with us. It's Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And Jeremiah, how would you describe Iowa's play against Rutgers last night?
Does that count?
Yes, it does. That actually is one of the more positive spins on last night's game. What'd you see?
I mean, it was apart from a couple runs, you know, one run from Jordan Bohannon by himself, and sort of the mid second half, how they played defense, and you know, I think they cut it to within 10, you know, with 3 or 4 minutes to go. Apart from those two little stretches, this was a write it off, forget about it, don't look back and watch the film kind of game. What was, I think, obviously the most disappointing, you probably talked about this on your show and heard from callers and texters about it, is that it sort of proved, at least in the short term, that what we all saw in the second half at Illinois was the exception and not the rule so far. And I think that to regress so forcefully from showing the ability to get, you know, put it all together is the most frustrating and most disappointing part about what happened.
Jeremiah, I had said before that I don't think a lot of fans kind of, it hadn't sunk in for a lot of fans how south this season can go. Does a blowout loss on the road to Rutgers put that into perspective?
You know, I'll disagree with you just a little bit. I think that in many fans' cases that they had already been at the ledge with starting 0-5 in conference. I think losing in a blowout loss to Rutgers kind of pushes a lot of them off, if that makes sense. There's not much positivity going around anymore. I mean, even there, you know, in the first losing streak, it was like, well, this, and this. There's still plenty of time, and that's just all gone now. And I think the reality of this team is really starting to sink in for everybody. You know, across the board, we were all wrong about what this team was going to put together this year. That doesn't mean they aren't talented. That doesn't mean they don't have the capability of winning more games the rest of this year. I mean, this seems to follow the script that they would win on Saturday and get us all like, well, okay, well, maybe we're wrong. You know, like that's a thing that could very, very well happen. But the reality is that overall, this team just doesn't have it for whatever reason. And that whatever reason is the thing we're all searching for.
Jeremiah Davis joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, talking Hawkeye hoops. Iowa hosts Purdue at 11 a.m. on Saturday. We'll get to the Boilermakers in just a second. But any individual performance stand out to you last night in Piscataway?
I mean, you kind of have to say Jordan Bohannon just from the scoring perspective because he's the only one that really did it. You know, but even that, he only had a couple assists and you know, 3 or 4 turnovers, so he wasn't the whole team wasn't sharing the ball very well, but you know, without him shooting the way he did, Iowa loses by 30. So you kind of have to almost by default. You know, I don't want to take anything away from the effort that he gave. And as a quick aside, these players are trying. It's just when you get down 25, it's hard to just organically build up some energy and you know, desire, I guess, in the middle of a game. Anyway, his effort, I thought, was the best among them, but that's not really saying a whole lot when the team played as poorly as it did.
And it's interesting you bring up effort because I'm listening to the broadcast last night on the Big Ten Network, and then I hear John Crispin and Andy Katz, the studio host, say that that Iowa just looked like they lacked any kind of fire or energy for about 30 minutes of that game. So you still think it's a little bit unfair to question the effort at this point?
basketball players are there to play basketball, right? Of course they're trying. I think it's the height of unfairness to question any athlete, any college athlete's effort because they want to win. I mean, I think that to me is very simple. If you want, it's like what I think is fair to question is desire or focus. And what I mean by desire, because I know that's, I'm kind of talking out of two sides of my mouth. I mean that the desire to make adjustments in the game, the focus that requires, that is what I think the team is lacking. Maybe they're lacking somebody, you know, an alpha male that Peter Jacques was, or that some of the other guys were, you know, Aaron White, Anthony Clemens, those types of players that would, you know, could band everybody together. Maybe they're lacking that. I just don't think it's fair to say they're not trying. They don't want to win because of course they do. And we're also not in practices. We're not living it. As frustrating as it is for fans and for media to ask the same questions over and over, it's doubly as frustrating for those guys to not know the answers.
I feel like this is a question that we ask almost weekly with this team, at least the last 2 or 3 weeks, but is there a point, a breaking point, where you worry about the team just sort of folding in on itself here?
I think that it's a natural question for sure.
Maybe Saturday. Saturday at about 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Depending on how that game goes, maybe. Yeah, I mean, because you're coming home and it's going to be a big day for the program. You know, the Chris Street Memorial game. You know, I talked to some players this week, and you know, they said that if you can't use that as a motivator, somebody like Chris Street, even though all these players were born after he died, but just learning about him and hearing his story and what his legacy is, if you can't get yourself motivated for that kind of game and want to play harder, just even for that reason, you probably shouldn't be there. And so I would imagine that at least the start of the game will be a high energy output from Iowa, but if it falls apart or if they can't rise to the very high occasion that Purdue's going to bring, you have to wonder if the Tents are going to start folding in, just in terms of what they believe they can achieve, because that sort of translates into what I was mentioning before. When you feel like your season is over, then you start relaxing, you start not focusing as hard on what you can and can't do, and then everything else, unfortunately, follows after that.
Jeremiah, we've been talking about this for the past couple of days, but I hear this a lot from Iowa fans. Man, every team has their best shooting night, especially from beyond the arc, of the year when they play Iowa. This might be the most obvious question ever, but this cannot be a coincidence, can it?
Oh, no, it's definitely not. I think anybody who's watched basketball for any length of time can watch Iowa's defense and notice that while they'll have a few possessions in a row where things are really good, you know, that but even last night, the press created some turnovers and confused Rutgers. But Rutgers is one of the worst offensive teams in the country, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country. They're ranked in the 300s in several categories, the high 200s in other categories, last in the Big Ten in 4 or 5 categories. And Iowa made them look efficient. And that's not – it can't – over and over – it can't be a coincidence. You know, Purdue hitting so many shots, Penn State hitting so many shots right in a row. Indiana looking great offensively after not looking good against other teams. It's just not a coincidence at this point anymore. The communication and the confusion, lack of communication, and the confusion on defense is evident. When they put it together, they're athletic enough to be a solid defensive team. They just aren't putting it together for 3 quarters of the game.
Another question that I feel like people have probably had on the tips of their tongue for the last couple weeks is, are you surprised that Fran McCaffrey has kept it together as well as he has this year? I know there have been some moments, but for the most part, he seems to be taking this a little bit better than you would have expected him to.
A little, yeah, I agree with that. It's surprising that he hasn't been as visibly frustrated, especially with us in the media. He's been very patient with us. And in fact, it was kind of weird that it felt like he was a little more agitated after they won at Illinois in that post game than in some of the losses. Now, maybe, and I'm totally extrapolating here. I haven't had this conversation with Fran personally, but maybe somewhere in the back of his mind, I shouldn't say expected, but knew that this was a possibility, that a young team in its second year without, you know, its lead player from a year ago was going to face some of these struggles. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I'm purely guessing at that, because you expect a guy who is as fiery as on the sideline to be fiery afterwards, but you know, maybe he understands better than we do why this team is playing that way, and even if he can't put a specific answer to it, he knows them and he knows the team, and you know, maybe what he has said in that, like, yelling and screaming and throwing chairs in the locker room isn't going to help anything. So, you know, why would snapping at us help anything? You know what I mean? So maybe that's it. I'm not really sure, but you know, I don't think you can say he lacks fire or doesn't care. So you know, obviously it's a better question for him.
Jeremiah, one of the big talking points with him has been the length of his bench and how many players to play, whether he should shorten it, whether he should continue to play 10 or 11 guys. At this point in the season, does it seem like maybe he should just go ahead and play as many players as he can, just to, it's kind of a spring training-like approach, just to see what you have towards next year?
Well, yeah, I wrote before, ahead of the Rutgers game, that whatever the reasoning is, whatever, you know, whether it's that what you just said, or it's because he believes that that's the most effective way to play the players, he's going to do it. You know, I mean, he's going to play 12 guys, or 11 guys normally, 12 guys last night with Ewell, which was, I think, a pretty big red flag for how Iowa was playing in that game, the fact that we saw Dom. That's just the way Fran rolls. I looked it up for the story. Every year he's been the coach, his regular rotation has been at least 10 players, where, you know, with maybe 8 or 9 getting the bulk of the minutes. And so he's going to roll those guys out there. That's the way he's going to do it. But we should probably all stop beating our heads against the wall wondering if he's going to change, because it's not going to, unless injuries happen.
So what are your expectations Saturday morning at 11 o'clock when that ball goes in the air? Purdue, arguably one of the best teams in the country right now, could make the case that they're number one in the country, looking very good, coming into Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Iowa coming off this loss to Rutgers. What happens?
I think Iowa starts out fast. I think they have, you know, as I mentioned before, they start out with that level of energy that this is a big game, both for personal reasons and the fact that the number three team in the country is coming into town. And how Purdue responds to that is going to dictate a lot of it. I'm not out here picking Iowa to win, but what the positives we've seen out of Iowa are when they have been able to match the competitiveness of their opponent. And if they're able to do that and sustain that, you know, they should be okay on Saturday, at least to be in the game throughout. As for what I expect the outcome to be, I would imagine Purdue is going to win, because Purdue is very good. They've won, I think, 14 straight. They're, you know, haven't lost the Big Ten yet. So it would be silly to come out here and say after Iowa, you know, is one of its last 5 or 6, whatever it is, in Big Ten, to sit here and say that Iowa's going to rise to the occasion and win. But you know, something like a fast start wouldn't surprise me at all.
All right. Are you ready for this? I mean, you can be honest here. You can duck out if you want to, but I'm about to hit you with this intro, and I think it's going to blow your mind. Are you ready for this?
Are you kidding? This is a banner day. I get my intro music and everything.
Okay, here we go. Alex?
He's got a minute and a half to tell you whatever's on his mind involving a sport where the primary objective involves being able to turn left.
You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last, you know?
It's time to wave the green flag on Jeremiah Davis's 90 Seconds of NASCAR.
That was you?
Oh, you couldn't hear it.
No, I couldn't. I'm sorry.
He couldn't hear it, Alex. Well, that was a failure on our part.
Should we just play it again so he can hear it?
I suppose we can just start punching buttons like a bunch of monkeys to see if we eventually get the right mix here.
All right, we'll try this one more time.
He's got to be able to hear it.
He does.
He's got a minute and a half to tell you whatever's on his mind involving a sport where the primary objective involves being able to turn left.
You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last, you know?
It's time to wave the green flag on Jeremiah Davis's 90 seconds of NASCAR.
Did you hear it that time?
Phenomenal.
Okay, phenomenal. Okay. Now, there was a great internal debate in the building today among the muckety mucks as to whether or not the time that that intro takes cuts into the 90 seconds. But the ruling from above was no. So you got the full, it's yours. And I know that you've been putting a lot of work into this one. So the floor is yours.
All right. This one, I was thanks to a Twitter question, at Kay Gertzen, a loyal Hawkeye fan, wanted to know who the best comparison was in a NASCAR driver to the Iowa men's basketball team. And there's a couple different, you know, avenues you could take here, because you can say if it's this year or if it's all time. And I settled on Kurt Busch, the 2004 Cup champion, the oft-discussed older Busch brother. And here's why. Kurt Busch started out with a lot of success. He kind of came out of nowhere, had a lot of success, won that championship, and then had a career lull where he lost his ride with Penske Racing, was with one of the lower budget teams in the sport, and was really kind of out of his luck and stuff. Plus the fact that he curses a lot on the radio. So if you extrapolate that to the Iowa men's basketball team, they had early years where they were Final Four teams, you know, the Fabulous Five, and then, of course, the Lute Olson years. And then they had a lull, some downtime. Todd Licklider comes to mind as well. And then they've made a resurgence. Kurt Busch has won some races. He won the Daytona 500 last year. Iowa has sort of made a resurgence, but they're a little bit kind of in the middle, right? And then to top it off, you have Fran McCaffrey on the sideline. So I think that makes Kurt Busch the NASCAR driver equivalent of the Iowa men's basketball team.
Okay. And that was close.
A minute and 30 seconds.
He nailed it?
He nailed it.
I was off. Nailed it. He had been working on it. Jeremiah, we appreciate it, and we will see you Saturday morning, 11 a.m. tip-off, Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good one.
Iowa and Purdue. It's going to be a tough one, but I think we can all agree the Hawkeyes are up for it. 4:53, we'll step aside, take a quick, but we can't, I'm being told that we can't all agree on that after last night's game. Understandable. Agree to disagree. Back with more of the Todd Brolecamp Show after this.
Kickoff 2018 right at La Cantina. If it's football you love, catch all the championship games at any La Cantina location. Or pick up your favorites from La Cantina and take them home for your own viewing party. La Cantina has specials every day. And if you've made a resolution to eat better, La Cantina's light menu will hit the spot with healthier options of delicious favorites and even skinny margaritas. It's another great year for La Cantina Bar and Grill in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and downtown Cedar Rapids.
The bag sale is back. Bring in your reusable Menards bag or pick one up for 98 cents and save 15% on anything you can fit inside the bag. No matter how you stack it, no matter how you pack it, save 15% on everything you can fit in the bag now at Menards. Pack your bag with doorknobs, paint, groceries, any item that fits in the bag. Hurry in. Sale ends January 20th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
All that anticipation, all that buildup, and then he couldn't hear it the first time.
I look at it as it's such a good intro that we had to hear it twice. Glass half full. Well, eternal optimist in me.
That, along with, is this news? It's going to be tough to figure out which is the better segment between the two moving forward. And is this news made its debut on Tuesday to mixed reviews?
I enjoyed it. And you've set a precedent, though, and some other guests are looking for 90 seconds on topics.
They don't have their own niche.
Yeah, but Brent Bloom, he wants NBA? To do 90 seconds of NBA.
We got 2 hours between 12 and 2. We get all the NBA you want here on KGYM.
That's true.
We're probably good. We probably have the NBA covered between 12 and 2, if you've been listening. And I know you have! That's a really poor impersonation. Send things over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One, where you are the one.
The Iowa men lost to Rutgers for the first time since the Scarlet Knights joined the Big Ten last night, 80-64 in Piscataway. Rutgers entered the game as one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country at less than 30% as a team and making less than 5 per game, but last night made 7 of 16 as they scored 11 points more than their season average and the most of their Big Ten schedule. They were also the worst overall shooting team in the league at 40% from the floor, but shot 53% against the Hawkeyes. Things weren't great for Iowa State either as they lost on the road to number 24 TCU, 96-73. TCU shot a sky-high 60% from the floor, including 12 of 25 from distance, while racking up 29 assists to only 4 turnovers. The Cyclones didn't have bad shooting numbers themselves, but gave up 47 and 49-point halves. The rosters for the Senior Bowl were announced today, and former Hawkeyes Akram Wadley and Sean Welsh and former Cyclone Alan Lazard will all be playing for the North later this month. The Iowa State men also took one on the chin from... The Iowa State women also took one on the chin from fourth-ranked Baylor for a second time this season, falling 79-50 at home. Tonight after the show, we'll have St. Mary's traveling to number 13 Gonzaga. We're going to pick up coverage at 7:45, and you'll be able to hear that on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Well, a little West Coast Conference hoops. That takes me back to the degenerate days, staying up late.
Adam Morrison, Gonzaga. Even before that,
yeah. You haven't lived until you're trying to find the radio broadcast of a West Coast Conference game that's gone to double overtime. You can see whether that final leg of the parlay will hit or not. Hour number one is in the books. We've still got the 4 tickets to World Championship Ice Racing to give away. And I'll tell you what, we're going to do it sometime in the next 60 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Travis Hines talking Cyclones with us in 30 minutes. Back after this.